Good morning and welcome to our worship service on this Easter Sunday. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. O Lord Jesus Christ, your death and your resurrection has secured for us the forgiveness of all our sins and our eternal life. We ask you to grant us humble hearts, ready and eager to repent of our sins and to receive the joy and refreshment that you alone can give. We rejoice that because of your grace and forgiveness, we can come into your presence today to worship and praise you together with the Father and the Holy Spirit. May our worship be pleasing in your sight. May you bless us and keep us in the faith. We pray this to the praise and glory of your holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for today is Now All the Vault of Heaven Resounds. I invite you to stand for the last verse. I invite you to follow our order of worship that's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin on the top of page 3. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. We celebrate this resurrection day in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Upon the hill, the cross stands empty. Morning light breaks upon the empty tomb. Christ is risen. Alleluia. New life has awakened. Our resurrection is assured. God has given us a living hope, an eternal hope to a dying world. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. O Lord, prepare us for worship as we confess our sins. Dear Heavenly Father, we have come together in your presence to hear your holy word and to worship you by celebrating the resurrection of your Son. O holy and righteous God, you alone can make us clean. Your mercies never end. They are new every morning. You have told us in your word, we were buried with Christ through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. With your command and promise in mind, therefore, we come to you to confess our sins. O holy and merciful Father, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But at your gracious invitation, I come to you. And for the sake of my Lord Jesus Christ and his suffering and death, I plead, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Having heard your confession, I, as a called servant of Christ, assure you that your gracious Father in heaven has heard your prayer. And by the authority and command of our Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. On Easter Sunday, we customarily read the Easter accounts, which are taken from the four Gospels. What we'll be reading responsively today is a compilation of these accounts taken from the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Our readings begin on page 4, and in between the readings, we'll also be singing some of our Easter hymns. We begin with the section, Jesus' Resurrection from the Dead. Now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices, that they might come and anoint him. And now as the first day of the week began to dawn, while it was still dark, they came to see the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door of the tomb, and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other women came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away from the tomb, for it was very large. When Mary Magdalene saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb, she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." The other women entered the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments, one young man clothed in a long white robe, sitting on the right side. And the women were alarmed and afraid, and bowed their faces to the earth. And the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid or alarmed, for I know that you seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen, as he said. Behold, here is the place where they laid him. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.'" And they remembered his words. And he said to them, "But go quickly and tell his disciples and Peter that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you, 'Behold, I have told you.'" So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb with fear and great joy. For they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. And they ran to report it to his disciples. The visit of Peter and John. Peter therefore arose and went out, and the other disciple, and they ran to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. Stooping down and looking in, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes, and Peter marveled to himself at what had happened. We continue with our next hymn, "Jesus Christ is Risen Today." I invite you to stand for the last verse. Thank you. may be seated. We continue on page 7. Jesus' appearance to Mary Magdalene. Now when Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 demons. Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb, and she saw 2 angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples who had been with him as they mourned and wept that she had seen the Lord, and he had spoken these things to her. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. Jesus' appearance to the other women. And as the other women went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice." So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." And they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. We continue with our next hymn, "Morning Breaks Upon the Tomb." Jesus' appearance to the disciples behind closed doors. Now as they said these things, when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus himself came and stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace be with you." He appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, but they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, "Have you any food here?" So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate it in their presence. And he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Then he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things." So Jesus said to them again, "Peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." We continue with our next hymn, "He is a Risen Glorious Word." Please rise. Let's join now in confessing our faith in our risen Savior Jesus with the words of the second article of the Apostles' Creed, along with Luther's explanation from the Catechism. That's found on page 11 in your bulletin. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. He has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. He did this that I should be his very own, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in eternal righteousness, innocence, and joy. Just as he is risen from death, lives and reigns in eternity, this is most certainly true. You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn, "Awake My Heart with Gladness." Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Savior Jesus Christ, who is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. The text for our meditation on this Easter Sunday is taken from John chapter 20. We'll read verses 1 and 2, and then verses 11 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb. She saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she left and ran to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved. "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb," she told them, "and we don't know where they put him." And we jump to verse 11. But Mary stood outside facing the tomb, weeping. As she wept, she bent over, looking into the tomb. She saw two angels in white clothes sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and one at the feet. They asked her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She told them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have laid him." After she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, though she did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you looking for?" Supposing he was the gardener, she replied, "Sir, if you carried him off, tell me where you laid him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and replied in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus told her, "Do not continue to cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." She also told them the things he said to her. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. When I was in college, a friend of mine and I decided we were going to take a bike ride on one of those converted railroad trails, you know, the ones that used to be railroad tracks, they convert to bike trails. And this was in the central part of the state of Wisconsin during the summertime. This particular trail we were going to ride on had a couple of really old, long, former train tunnels that you had to walk your bike through. That's one of the reasons we chose this particular bike trail. One was a quarter mile long, and the other was 3/4 mile long. Now, to say that our trip wasn't really well planned or really that well thought out would be an understatement. If I recall correctly, we didn't even bring water with us, and this bike ride was something like 20 miles round trip, and it's a lot of up and down hills. We were young, we were pretty foolish. We didn't bring water, and we also didn't think, you know, if you're going to a place that has a quarter and a 3/4 mile long tunnel, maybe you should bring a bike light. Maybe you should bring a flashlight. And this is, of course, before we had cell phones, so we didn't even have that light to provide us with some light in this tunnel. And if you're wondering how dark a 3/4 mile tunnel is, it is very dark. The light at the end of that tunnel when you enter it initially is just a little dot way off in the distance. You cannot see anything in a tunnel like that. In fact, when people would pass us coming the other direction, they would announce themselves and you would jump because you didn't know they were even there. It's that dark in there. So as you get closer and closer, finally that light gets bigger and bigger, and as you get towards the very end, finally you can see some light on your path from the light at the end of the tunnel, until you finally got out into the glorious sunlight pouring through those trees on that warm summer afternoon. The season of Lent is something like traveling through that dark tunnel. During the weeks of Lent, the themes are often very solemn. They're somber. They're serious. Even this Lenten season, we chose a rather cheerful theme, the names of wondrous love. But even then, during the season of Lent, we do think about and are confronted with the reality of our sins. The reality of the darkness that Jesus went through, the suffering he went through to remove those dark stains of sin from our souls. But today is completely different. Today we walk out of that Lenten tunnel, that darkness, into the full sunshine and the glorious light of another Easter. For our joy, for our comfort, for our praise, today we look at one more of the names of wondrous love of Jesus, and that is the light. That first Easter, we're told that Mary Magdalene came to the tomb very early in the morning, so early that it was still dark, our text says. No doubt for Mary, that morning was very dark. It wasn't just the sky either. It wasn't just that she was going to see a loved one who had passed away and going to mourn at his grave. No, this was not just a loved one, this was her Savior that was buried in the darkness of that tomb. The one whom had cast out seven demons from her, who had rescued her from her life of torment, the one whom she served and followed faithfully, a heart so full of faith, believing that this man, Jesus, was more than just a man. He was the Messiah. He was the Son of God. He was the Savior, but now he was dead. He was buried, and all her hope was buried with him. Just imagine the darkness Mary Magdalene felt in her heart that morning as she walked in the darkness to the tomb. And then she arrives and she sees that the stone has been rolled away. Imagine her despair and her confusion as she ran and told Peter and John, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." She'd come to the tomb that morning to embalm Jesus' body. She was hoping to do this one final act of love for Jesus, and even that was taken away from her. She was denied this last act of love for Jesus. And so the text tells us her tears began to flow as she stood outside that empty tomb, weeping, while it was still dark, both in the sky and in her heart that day. Can you relate to the darkness of Mary's despair? Have you ever cried tears of sorrow at the grave of a loved one that you miss dearly? Have you ever felt the darkness that this life so often can bring? And not just talking about the sky at night, the struggles, the burdens, the sorrows that can seem too much to bear. Those worries and concerns that weigh us down that we have about so many things. Our health, our loved ones, our work, our future, our struggles with sin and the unrelenting temptations that never seem to quit. It can feel like we are traveling through a dark tunnel without any exit or any daylight up ahead. That's what it felt like for Mary Magdalene on that first Easter morning. But that's not how things ended for Mary that morning. And it's not how things will end for us either. So let's follow Mary from the darkness to the dawn. Every morning, the darkness must give way to the dawn. It happened this morning. Another beautiful sunrise happened. And it happened that first Easter morning. As that first light began to dawn, we also see light begin to dawn in Mary's heart. Our text says, as she wept, she bent over looking into the tomb. She saw two angels in white clothes sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and one at the feet. They asked her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" The presence of these angels and their question to Mary was meant to remind her of what she should have known. Jesus' body wasn't there. It wasn't stolen either. He wasn't dead anymore. The angels had told this to the women who had gone to the tomb when Mary had run off to tell Peter and John that Jesus was no longer in the tomb. Listen to what the angels told the other women. The angel said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words." Like the first rays of light at dawn, the angel's presence and her words brought a sliver of hope to Mary. And the angel's words reminded the other women of Jesus' promises and how he had spoken to them and told them these things a number of times. How often don't we need those reminders of Jesus' promises, the reminders of Jesus' words? That's why we don't just hear and remind ourselves of Jesus' words and promises on Easter Sunday. Yes, we know and believe the forgiveness and eternal life that Jesus has won for us through his perfect life, his death on the cross, and his glorious resurrection. But each week, doesn't life often get in the way? Don't the stresses and distractions and disappointments of each day sometimes cloud those thoughts? Don't they sometimes take our focus away from what Jesus has done for us? And those promises and words of Jesus can begin to fade a bit from our hearts and our minds. That's why we gather here each Sunday. We gather here to be reminded once again that our Savior lives. He reigns. And he is coming again to be with us, with him forever in heaven. It's been said that each Sunday is a mini Easter. That's why we worship on Sunday. It's a reminder that Jesus' resurrection and his promises are true. They are real. The rays of light breaking through in the darkness at the start of the new day, Jesus' words and promises remind us he is risen. The dawn, however, does not last long. Dawn is only a very short period of time between the night and the daylight. The same was true on that first Easter day. In the dawn, Mary had seen and heard the angels. But now in the daylight, she sees her risen Savior, Jesus. Our text tells us that she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, though she did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing he was the gardener, she replied, "Sir, if you carried him off, tell me where you laid him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and replied to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus told her, "Do not continue to cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father in heaven. But go to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." She also told them the things he said to her. Jesus saw Jesus. She went and said to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." There is no more darkness for Mary. Her actions and her words show it. There's no more gloom. There's no more sadness. There's no more walking in the dark tunnel of despair. Jesus had risen. Her Savior lives. The darkness had been taken away by the rising of the S-O-N, sun. Again, think of how that relates to us. That same S-O-N, sun, has risen for us as well. And he tells us in his word that he is the light of the world. He says, "Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The light. What a perfect name, what a perfect name of wondrous love that is for Jesus. Think of what a great comparison light is to Jesus. Where there is light, there cannot be darkness. When the sun rises and there is daylight, no matter how dark the night previous was, there is no more darkness. The sun is too powerful and bright. When you walk into a dark room, no matter how dark it is, and you flick on the lights, there is no longer darkness. That is essentially what God did when he sent Jesus into this world. In the first chapter of John, we read, "In him," in Jesus, "was life. And the life was the light of mankind. The light is shining in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Where Jesus, the light of the world, is, there can be no darkness. Jesus overpowers it, as John says. With Jesus, there is forgiveness. There is healing. and there is life. Today we have once again left that dark tunnel of Lent for the glorious light of Easter. But as you and I know, there will be more dark tunnels that we must walk through in our lives. And there is one great dark tunnel that all of us must face at the end of our lives. Unless Jesus comes first, we will face that dark tunnel of death. What comfort to know that we have Jesus, the light of the world, at the end of that dark tunnel and beside us in that dark tunnel. Our risen Savior Jesus, because He lives, we will live also. We will live forever with Him in heaven. Let's rejoice in that Easter light on this Easter Sunday and always. And let's share that light of the world with the world. Amen. Please rise. That peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. If you have an offering today to give to the Lord, we invite you to do so by placing it in the offering plate on the table in our church entryway. For our Easter prayer today, we'll not only be giving praise and thanks to the Lord for His resurrection, but also we ask that the light of Easter and the news of salvation would spread throughout the world. Any other prayer requests for today? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. O precious Savior Jesus Christ, we thank and praise You that by Your suffering on the cross and by Your death You have made peace with God for us by taking away all of our sins. But on this day we especially thank and praise You for Your resurrection from the dead, because it proves that You are God's Son. It seals Your sacrifice as the full payment for our sins and declares that we will rise again with You on the last day. Dear Jesus, we praise You with our hearts and lips for all that You've so graciously done for our salvation. Ever-living Lord, as You are raised up and glorified in Your body, raise us up by the Spirit from spiritual deadness and darkness to trust You with all our heart and to serve You with godliness all our days. Fill our hearts with joy as we look forward to the day of Your glorious reappearing when You will raise all the dead from their graves. Comfort us with the knowledge that on that day, our bodies too shall arise in the likeness of Your own glorious resurrection body. Dear Savior, we need You every minute of every day, so we pray that You would be with us and shower upon us Your promised grace and blessings. Cause the message of salvation, that joy of Easter, to be spread throughout the world. Enlighten dark hearts everywhere to know You and to believe in You and trust in You as their Savior from sin. Dear Jesus, our beloved friend, whose continual presence has been promised to us, be by our side in all of our troubles and all the dark tunnels of this life. Give us strength to bear them and wisdom to overcome them. Grant us grace to endure every sorrow that comes our way and courage to cope with every disappointment. You are the help of the helpless. You are the one who lifts up those who are fallen. Therefore, comfort and relieve us according to our individual needs. As we travel the hard road of suffering and sorrow, may we learn to love You more and more and eagerly await the treasures You have reserved for us in heaven. All these things we ask to the glory of your saving name, O triumphant Christ, who lives and reigns forever. And in your name now we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. You may be seated. We close our Easter service today with the hymn, I Know That My Redeemer Lives. I invite you to stand for the last verse. You may be seated. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Welcome to all of you. On behalf of our Savior Jesus to our worship service today, thank you for coming to our Easter worship. We also like to welcome our guests and visitors who are with us today. Invite you to sign our guest book in the entryway. You are all invited to join us after the service for our Easter brunch. Thank you to all who brought food for the Easter brunch. Also to the children, there is an Easter egg hunt that will happen after the service. Please meet in the back play area for the Easter egg hunt. I will leave it to your discretion to determine if you are a child qualified for the Easter hunt or not. This week, we have a few announcements. We have no school this week for Easter break. Was there an announcement for the Easter egg hunt? Before we start taking the eggs? Okay, we'll wait for the little ones. Okay.
And actually, yes. In the classroom,
okay. Meet in the classroom. Thank you for that correction. I appreciate that. This week, there is no school. We have Easter break Monday through Friday this week. Next Sunday, we have our worship service here at 10 a.m., worship service in Hayward at 1 p.m., and then I'll be going down to our Southern California services in the Ontario area at 6:30. So there will be no Bible class next Sunday. 10 a.m. here, 6:30 in Southern California. A big thank you not only to all who brought food to prepare for the brunch, but also to everyone who helped decorate yesterday, both the sanctuary and also our fellowship hall. Everything looks tremendous. Thank you for the effort and the work and the skill that you put into all the flower displays and the decorations for our service and our brunch. Are there any other announcements for today? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.